Warning, the following is the officially sanctioned podcast
about the show, about four lifelong friends
who compete to embarrass each other in public.
You know the one.
The official Impractical Jokers podcast.
Welcome to the official Impractical Jokers podcast. I am Casey Jost.
I'm James McCarthy.
You also got Danny Green, a.k.a., say it.
Verde.
Danny Verde.
Danny Turquoise.
Danny Turquoise. Oh, that's what it should be DJ Turquoise.
Oh, I like that.
That's your new name.
You can call me that.
What's your middle name?
Eric.
Oh, that's not DJ. That wouldn't be the initials.
Yeah.
D.E. Turks.
That's why I like
D.
it.
D. Turks. I think D. maybe Turks. D. Turks could be your name.
Okay.
What do you think?
I love it.
Great.
I love it.
All right. And we have a very special guest. She is a production manager for Impractical Jokers. Please welcome Nicole Salmanek.
Wait.
Sorry.
Oh, I keep it in.
In my head the whole time, I was like, I'm going to do it. Salmanek.
Good job. Nicole. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Nicole. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Casey Joist.
Fair?
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. Nice retaliation.
Well, you had nicknames on set. Nikki Slaps.
Yes.
Is a big one.
There was another one we can't say. We can't say it on the podcast.
There are a few, that we can't talk about. So
it was slap with other things.
Okay, involved. Let's not go there.
Okay, Nicole.
Hi, Mom.
Nicole, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I'd love to start with just talking about like what exactly you do as production manager.
So the bulk of my job is hiring the crew for the show. So it's our camera ops and our audio team. And then I work with the department heads to kind of create and execute the creative for the show. So it's more of like logistics and scheduling and making sure we're staying on budget and overseeing everything and make sure things are running out, smoothly.
For instance, and I'm going to jump ahead. We're not going to talk too much about the punishment right now. We'll talk a little later about it. But this punishment was basically decided day of.
Yes.
We were supposed to film something else, and then it became the wig punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably flipped your wig.
I did. Yeah. I did. I had about 5 seconds to get a crew to Delmonico's to film Impractical Insider. So
That's wild. Cause so the fans know we're going to show another bit later in the year where we filmed at Delmonico's and the guys got there and loved the setup so much. And we had this wig punishment. They were like, let's do it today. Let's get an actor, so we had to go. I mean, go. What happens like right then? The guys go, we want to do the wig punishment. Nicole, what do you have to do?
We want to do the wig punishment. Let's get Casey Jost here. And we need an Impractical Insider camera op and an audio person. So.
And how much does that change for the main show? So for Impractical Jokers, we're supposed to film a challenge there, which we actually did. But to add that, did you have to get any other cameramen?
No, luckily it was what we were initially supposed to do was a robotic day. So our camera team stays the same. So usually like on our mall days and our park days, we have a different camera crew. So it's our handheld camera.
And so like robotic days are like where the cameras are like up
hidden
somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Like a grocery store.
Grocery store, focus groups.
Yep. Uh-huh. Right.
And then there's the MOS days where it's handheld cameras, like you were saying, in the mall or in the park.
And MOS stands for
Man on the Street. It's weird because that doesn't make sense. So if we're like in the mall and it's Man on the Street, it's just sort of a short term. It also MOS means
without sound.
Without sound.
Right.
Which is weird because that's an M upside down as a W.
I think it comes from
meat. Like, meek.
Oh, sound? I thought it meant from like German directors in the old days who would say, "We shoot this scene without sound."
Wow, Danny. Yeah,
that's my showing German director character.
Unleashed, showing his acting chops.
Dita Turks.
But this is a fun, especially that was a surprise for you to shoot that thing. But we had a surprise challenge in this episode. We had a hide and go seek challenge. They filmed all day, a separate challenge that you'll probably see at another point. And then at the end, the guys were going to go home and they were like, hey, by the way, let's do an intro for the bit. And instead of doing that, they did this.
Yes.
They did hide and seek. They surprised Sal and Q, which I love. Sal asks a million questions. Q just goes right to a hiding spot.
Yeah.
I know. For the fans at home, I can't tell you enough how true that is to like our everyday. You say you're going to do something. Q's like, great, let's do it. He goes and hides. Sal is like, but wait.
Question.
What about this?
What is this?
Here's another question.
What if she comes?
What happens here?
Oh, yeah.
how is this going to play? And so, which I think was like really fun for like everyone to see. Like, you get to see Sal like producing, really, because the guys are all like, they're the stars of the show, but they also produce a lot of it. They're thinking it out. Like, Sal keeps asking Joe, like, how's this going to play on TV? Like, what's going to be on TV? Yeah. Like, how does the guys are concerned about that. Like, when they're interacting with a mark, like, so like, it, for example, things that can't be on TV, if you're talking to a mark and then like the mark just says something completely outlandish that you're not allowed to have on TV that that mark wouldn't want on camera, the guys are like, oh, dang it. We need to stop now. We can't use this turn anymore because this person's not going to want to sign a paper to say that we can use it.
I love you when, like what you said, like Sal saying, how does this play for television?
Right.
Is such a thing that they say constantly, but never was vocalized on the TV show. It's right. Almost one of the most meta things possible.
Yeah.
Is like he's realizing in the moment, he's getting pitched the challenge as they're filming it.
Yeah.
Like that's what's so amazing about this thing.
Right. And for us, our job is pitching them challenges and punishments.
Yeah.
And so that is like part of our process. And you saw like a haphazard version of that going on where it's like, here's the pitch and go. And he's like, okay, but how's this going to play and everything else? And he's like trying to figure it out.
So Nicole, do you have any insight into the cleaning person who came?
Insight into her?
Yeah. Like into like how she was booked or how much, I mean, you don't have to say how much she got paid, but she probably got like a cleaning rate, right? Like her normal rate to clean a room.
Yeah. Yeah. Our producers booked her, had her come in and, you know, told her you're going to clean this space and just walk around. And that's what she did.
So obviously she doesn't know to like look for bodies.
No, not at all. No, nope.
That's more of a, like a hotel cleaning staff would probably have to do that.
Yes.
I imagine there's a lot of dead bodies in hotels.
Yeah. Obviously.
And we're at a prop warehouse and I think she was just told to dust, right? That's why she comes in with this like big, like almost comical duster.
Yeah.
And so it's like really just dusting things. So it's like a weird cleaning job to get in the first place where it's like, all right, just you're entering this giant space and you're just dusting. Like usually it's like mopping floors.
Sounds like a good cleaning job to me though, just to do the dusting.
Yeah. Cause really it's like, who's going to tell if you did it or not. Right.
Yeah. But there was so much stuff in there. It's like, where do you even start? She kind of just like bounces around and.
Yeah. We love the idea. We actually originally wanted to do it at, like a house. Like remember the first finding a room or like
you know, a house sitters kind
but,
of.
But the original it was at the place that we did the original like a room for rent, like where Sal holds the wine glasses up and he like crawls on the floor and Murr has the guy who jumps on the couch.
Yeah, house sitters.
Was that House Sitters? No, I don't think so.
That was from, you're looking for a roommate. I think it was season one.
Gotcha.
So anyway, we wanted to, the original vision was like at a house like that, where it could be multiple floors and there's cameras all over the place and then someone's cleaning a house. And then I think that location came through and they were like, this is perfect places to hide.
Right.
Kind of an odd zone where Joe hid was so funny. The moment where he stands up and then the sheet is over his head and you just see it like it looked like the complete out like print of his face. Mm-hmm. You see the nose and everything. It was so fun.
Like the shroud of Turin.
Yeah. the way that played out was so interesting in terms of Sal complaining and talking the whole time, being like, I wish this was over, but still wanting to play the game.
Right.
Like he didn't want to get, he could have just like been caught and the thing would be over, but his competitive nature still comes out. So he still hid.
It was great. Murr in the coffin. Very funny to me. Also like a really good hiding spot if the game is short. But then like once you're in there for like 10 minutes, you start really getting claustrophobic and like, breathing, like you feel weird about it. You know, the CO2's pumping in there. Your mind starts going. It's scary.
Do you guys play hide and go seek, Nicole? Do you play with your nieces?
I do.
Well, hold up a second. How did you know that, Danny?
I did a pre-interview.
I understand that.
Danny Green, professional.
How in the pre-interview of a person who's a production manager on Practical Jokers are you like, what kind of family do you have?
Because I said, can we talk at 5? And she said, I have to pick up my nieces. We moved our chat to 4:30.
That's right.
And I just want everyone to know that we're doing a handful of pre-interviews this year. We're upping the production quality of the podcast by 20 to 25%.
But we are not privy to any of the answers of this pre-interview. Yeah.
I was too busy to Danny Green.
Danny Green, take the stage. You're unleashed.
So I have a question, Nicole, which you hire everybody on the crew, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. The tech crew. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which department drinks the most?
Oh gosh. That's hard on this show.
It's the sound department, right?
I would say sound is pretty off. The chain.
Break it down. Break it down. Who do we got? Right? Because they're like, you know, Danny Hollis is
Danny Hollis is our A1. He's our lead audio.
He's our lead drinker too.
Yes, he is. Go on a scout with Danny Hollis. Best times.
Yeah, he's fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, when we scout locations, sometimes we have to scout bars.
Yeah.
And Rebecca's a fun hang, but Rebecca doesn't get hammered.
No, Rebecca doesn't get crazy. It's really just Danny from the audio team, if I'm being honest.
That's a big part of it. But there's three people. There's also Max, mm-hmm. who now has a kid, so he's a lot more responsible.
Yeah. He takes the early boat home.
Now let's talk a little bit about. Hold on. Let's talk a little bit about Hood, our director.
Yes,
he's up there too. He's the one who rivals Danny.
Oh, him and Scarborough. Directing duo could be the most drunk.
Scarborough
shows in the show. I mean, yeah, those cameras all over the place.
Scarborough's got the dreads. You know what he gets down with?
Yeah.
He's all about that ganja weasel 69.
Oh my God.
It's legal in most states.
It is.
Not the one we live in.
I think the comedy producers are almost the most tame, which is like usually shows were like,
they were like, oh no, I have to go do an improv show. I can't get him.
you do have Imbrugio, who I've literally been at parties at, where he's like passed out before the sun has gone down.
Lightweight.
And then like had to sleep it off and wake up at like 7 a.m. being like, oh man, I missed everything.
Well, the funniest, and the Joker's the first one there and the last one to leave a party is Joe Gatto, doesn't drink at all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Murr doesn't drink that much. Murr, a little bit of a lightweight as well.
Yeah, he's gotten into his phases where he's like doing shots. Murr, here's an issue with Murr.
Oh God, shots, yeah.
Murr will be like, oh, I want like a vodka soda or something like that. And then he'll be like, oh, you know what I'm going to do? Is a tequila, and then he'll be like, all right, Jameson shots.
Yeah.
So he'll mix and he'll make everyone mix. And I'm like, well, how can you mix like that?
You can't.
I think he also started drinking when he was like 35.
So he's ordering like an 18-year-old.
Exactly.
Kid.
He's a little bit
like
behind.
Just snuck into the bar and he's like, oh, I need to get it all now.
But yeah, Nicole, when you joined this team, you brought a lot of experience from other jobs that you had.
Oh, do you know what other jobs she's had? She was a line producer at, I can't read my notes.
You came in so hot.
She did work on the Love and Hip Hop after show.
I did.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Toasted by Joey Fatone.
No.
Behind the music, she did the Linda Perry episode.
Whoa.
Oh,
100 Sexiest Artists.
Who was number one?
Oh, God, I forgot.
Who do you think it was? Casey?
Oh, my
God.
Pretty sure it was me.
It was.
Michelangelo?
It was Casey Joist.
Yeah.
She worked on Who's Your Daddy?
Yes. They changed the name to Swab Story, so when it aired.
What is it?
Who's Your Daddy was the pilot name, but when it went to air, it only lasted one season, it was changed to Swab Stories, and it was a traveling RV that tested people's DNA.
Swab Stories. Mm-hmm. I get it. Cool. Yeah. That's a better name.
Yeah. I like Who's Your Daddy.
But you're finding out so much more than just daddy.
It's true.
It's literally, they like any show, especially, was this MTV? No.
This was VH1.
But you've worked with, VH1, MTV. Mm-hmm. They just want something that's like a pun on sex.
That's you know true. What I mean?
Like, that's all they want. They, like, if you could pitch a show, if it's got like a sex pun, it'll probably get picked up.
It's true.
Yeah. The original title of this show was Boink Me Later.
It sold to MTV.
Not even
it
a pun.
Passed on the pilot, and then she picked it up.
Not even a pun. I'm sorry. I could have done better than that.
Now, Nicole has some stories about meeting some celebrities.
Ooh, what do you got?
Tell us about what happened between you and Beyonce.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. I don't even know
Beyonce?
This.
Beyonce. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Beyonce.
And at this point, were you in the Beehive or no?
No. This was before the Beehive. This was like when she first broke out of
Destiny's Child Hive.
In her, her solo career.
Oh,
and I interned at TRL. That was like one of my first, that was one of my
job.
First things at a college.
Music videos, people at home were, nah, never mind. The kids don't
know. It's when MTV played music.
Yeah.
And I was in the studio doing something and I got called over walkie to like, it was like an emergency thing that I don't even remember what it was. And I flew out of the studio and I was running down the hallway and I was kind of like pushing people out of my way. And all of a sudden I see a very large man moving towards me and I like wasn't even paying attention to what I was doing, but I am face to face with Beyonce about to throw her and she looks terrified. And I like stopped. I like threw her makeup artist out of the way. I threw her dancers out of the way.
Good.
And I'm face to face with her and she is like, oh my God, this crazy girl is like going to kill me. And I just looked at her and I was like, I'm so sorry. There's a coat check emergency. And that was it. I ran. And wow. And that was my
That's
moment.
Amazing that she had the power even back then to yes. just stop white woman in her tracks and be like, show me the respect I deserve.
Questions.
Yeah.
Is she tall?
She is. She's average. She's not short.
Okay. You know, that's funny though, because you do meet celebrities sometime and you're like, whoa, this person's so much shorter or taller
tiny,
than I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing that Murray says to me almost every time I see him is, Casey Jost, you're taller than I thought. Yeah. He says it all the time. I'm like, well, by now you should think I'm taller.
Yeah. You're like 6'6", right? Well,
I'm 6'6", yeah.
I but you're like a legit 6'1", right?
No, I'm 5'12".
Oh, okay.
That's what I usually say.
Yeah.
I'm right between 5'11 and 6.
Gotcha.
5'12".
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Nicole also visited the home of Mariah Carey.
I did.
You see the wine cellar?
The best.
I didn't. I was in the Aspen room.
What does that mean?
It's a whole, you know, the room? I signed a confidentiality agreement over there. Oh. I don't know if I can talk about it, but yes, yeah, so, but it's been on Cribs or it's been on TV actually, but it's a whole room that is like based on Aspen, Colorado. So it's all like very like lumbery and cozy fireplaces.
Wow.
Yeah.
So one of the things I was going to say with all these jobs that you've had, mm-hmm. you've brought your experience and your talent, but you've also brought your fun, good nature to our crew.
You.
And I think honestly, you do a great job. I would never want to undermine that or underplay that, but you've also brought such energy to like our parties, our crew parties, and just like our on set good vibes.
Aw, thank you.
Really? Like you've kind of become like the fun aunt of Practical Jokers.
Thanks.
Because you have nieces.
I do. I have three nieces and two nephews.
Danny Green like went searching and like
Danny Green met me at the school, the Pickup Valley, actually.
So. What? They're all terrific kids.
Well, when he did that, he took a swab and knows your whole swab story. Well, why don't we jump into our next challenge? We went to Carlo's Bakery, which is fun because you've worked on so many different shows. And another show is Cake Boss.
Cake Boss,
and we went to his place.
Have you ever seen Cake Boss?
I have.
Yeah? Is it good?
It's great. I mean, if you like those shows, it's up there with, it's like, it's reality.
Okay.
And set in like a baking environment, or you get to see like somebody comes in and be like, I'm having a funeral. Can you make me a cake? And they make them a big black cake. I've seen every
giant
episode.
Coffin.
Well, Carlo's Bakery, this is fun. We shot out the one in Hoboken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hoboken, New Jersey. That's where we filmed. And I had a lot of friends that live in Hoboken. And I told them, hey, does anyone know where Carlo's is? And they're like, yeah, it's there. I go there all the time. And I was like, well, don't today. Because right. We don't want people who know the show right. to be there.
Yeah.
So I had to like, I almost let them know they were there as to not go. And then I trusted them enough to take that word and not use it.
Yes. Carlo's Bakery, they get up early. This makes me think, Nicole, you have to be on set like when, right? Like you're like the first one there.
Uh-huh.
So what time, like, did you have to get up for, like, Carlo's Bakery?
Carlo's, I think we had, I think, either 5:30 or 6 a.m. call time. I think I was up around, well, actually, I stayed in Hoboken that night, so that's not a good one. But I was still up early. But usually, depending on where we're filming, I have to wake up at, like, 3, 3:30.
Which is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, so you're up at, like, 3, 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
We'll film until what time at night? 6, 7 o'clock
Six,
at night?
Seven,
and you have to be the last one there?
Yeah. For the most part, I stay till the end, or Kelly stays in and manages. Kelly's our senior production coordinator. Yeah, she will handle the loadout. So I either stay till the end, or I stay till we're done wrapping, and you know, like half an hour or so after we're camera wrapped, and then I'm out.
And then you sleep for 20 minutes, and then you come back to work the next
day.
No,
then I go home and I answer 655 emails, text messages, arrange the shuttle vans for the next day with everyone in their last minute requests, and then I sleep for 20 minutes. And then I wake up to all the emails. And
that's what's so crazy. And what Casey's like saying, like, you're like so much fun and like high energy.
Right.
And it's like, that's insane. Cause it's like me and Casey will show up to set some days and we'll cruise in at noon. And we're like, oh great. Lunch is here.
Yeah.
And then you're like,
give me my walk away.
Like we get lunch money or food, or like, yes, you're like, food's over there. And then we're like, cool. Hey guys, did you think about maybe using a whoopee cushion? And they're like, maybe not. I'm like, okay, great. We're just going to hang here with headphones. And you're like,
You're on a
laptop in setting up like again, like cars for people on the way home and like the buses and everything. It's insane.
But you're also doing it with a smile, and like your little section, like you'll have like a little table with like your laptop, and there's always like your kind of like team around you.
Yeah.
And it's like a fun vibe. I often like the Jokers are having fun doing the bit, but I'm always like, what's happening with Nicole and her crew?
Yeah. Well, TM has a good time.
That's the thing.
Good time
we've tried to get you on this show because we've done this on set a bunch. We try to get you on this show a lot. Mm-hmm. And this is episode 9. I think we've been trying since episode 1 of this season. You're like, I actually have work to do.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
It's funny. Oh, well, what's funny is one time we were filming at, it was when we did Joe's Punishment where he was breaking through tables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's already aired, right? Yeah. And I forget the order. So we were filming there and then I had asked you like, hey, can we do a few podcasts from set? Mm-hmm. And you were like, yeah, I think so. There's going to be a hard out at this certain time. So I didn't tell you this, but we recorded 2 episodes and then we started recording an episode of the JV Squadcast, which is the thing me and Joe do.
Yeah.
Inversia.
And Dan and Danny were on it and James, and we were all hanging out recording. And then we got kicked out.
You did. I told you.
We tarnished your record.
We used your name. We threw it around.
Yeah, right. Darn.
So Nicole said we could stay till 7 p.m.
A woman who worked there came over to me and said, hi, excuse me, I don't know what this is, but you have to leave.
You got to go. Yeah, sorry. I warned you.
I don't know what this is. It's just Joe and Bergio with like a martini and like talking to a bunch of boys.
I didn't see you guys leave. I was still upstairs working in a corner. Trying not to cry, but that was great.
Are there stressful times? Are there stressful situations?
Yeah,
like
there are.
On set, or is it just like because of everything that's going on?
What's the most stressful thing that's happened?
Oh, boy. You know, honestly, it's like there are so many things thrown at me that, and my team is like, it's every day feels like there's so many stressful things that are happening and we just kind of like put out fire left and right. I forget about it. It's like I just like black it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
it'll all come back when you're like 80.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or yeah. Therapy. Well, my life is flashing by and it's just going to be like Joker, Joker, Joker.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's like at least you're in a casino.
Yeah. But yeah, we've had some pretty stressful times. There was one time when we were in Universal. We were doing that Universal episode.
Yeah.
And Joe's flight wasn't taking off and he didn't think he was going to make it.
Yeah,
and we had a super early call time. The call sheet had already gone out. I was in bed with the stomach flu. I was throwing up all day.
Selfish.
Yeah, I know. Awful. And I got a phone call from Pete McPartland. He's like, yeah, we got to either like move the day, or I'm like, well, we already booked the crew. Call sheet went out and now people are sleeping. Cause it was like 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, we can't call them and make it, you know, we gotta figure it out. So luckily Joe made his flight. And the day went as planned. We couldn't push it because of daylight issues. It was outside. So there were just like a lot of like mechanics and hoops we had to jump through.
And so it worked out because the flight took off.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But if it didn't, what do you do? I mean, I understand that that's like a what if. Is it like you get a private jet or something?
There was all sorts of contingency plans because it was weather related in New York at that time. I remember that a little bit. And so we had to, I just remember like, trying to come up with like how we were changing the challenge for the next day. I forget which one we're filming. It would say it was Transformers. And it was like, you're supposed to load, like,
I think this it is was where, that one.
Like, yeah. It's like Transformers. So it's like, all right, the crew is all ready to start filming at, let's say, 10 a.m.
That was a double day, actually. We were doing that. I think that was the issue. We were doing an MOS portion in the park first. And then it was Transformers. But while we were doing that, our robo team was setting up for Transformers. So it was kind of hard. It was like not a day where we could shift the schedule like at all.
Right. And then it's also a travel shoot. So like you're trying to like figure out like hotel rooms for everybody and whether you need to extend it a day.
Yeah.
Are you having flashbacks now as you talk
about it? Yeah. And that trip actually was booked. I think we left Saturday morning and everything was booked Thursday at 5 p.m. We were at the Prudential Center filming the Sal Punishment with the foot one.
Yeah.
Because the budget hadn't been approved for it, so we weren't sure we could pull the trigger on it. So I was literally in a corner trying to like orchestrate booking 40 flights.
Wow. Wow.
Getting the Joker's hotel, hotel. Yeah, it was like that was, and that was our first, my first travel shoot with this team.
Oh, and then you did Hawaii after, which was even crazier. Yeah.
Yes.
Case, I just remembered where we were when Joe was stuck on the flight.
I know where it is.
We're at the Magic Kingdom.
We're at Disney. I'm if you glad look you guys were enjoying yourselves.
For this podcast, that's actually a picture of me and you at the Magic Kingdom that we took. We were so happy.
You had a stomach flu.
I was
Cinderella's
puking.
Castle in the background. They green screened it out and they put the Joker's podcast thing in. That's us that day while you're puking and crying and trying to figure out flights.
Yeah.
And me and
Joe
were on Splash.
That's the icon.
We did all three mountains. We did Splash Mountain, Thunder Mountain, Space Mountain.
We did all three.
Oh, we were pissed because Space Mountain, the lights were on. That was a bad
day. They turned the lights on?
It was hard for us,
too.
Yeah,
that was a hard day for us, too. Oh, they had the lights on for half a... Yeah, you could see the rails and everything.
Yeah, I wouldn't have traded positions with you at all.
Oh, really?
No way.
The turkey legs, we couldn't even finish them.
The turkey legs were too big.
They're too big.
They were too delicious.
That was a tough day for everybody. My stomach hurt a little bit after that as well.
Just from having so much fun.
That was bad.
Nicole, what are things you do like about the show? Because that's some of the most stressful stuff.
Yeah.
In terms of your job and like what you, from other jobs compared to this one, what are the things you love about this show?
I think the team, it's like, it's such a family. Yeah. Everyone's so cool, so chill. We're all close. We all hang out outside of work, and it's just, it's a fun environment to be in, you know, like, and that was one of the things when I was initially interviewing with Pete and Allie for the position, that's what they said. They were like, this show's crazy and it's intense and it's stressful at times, but this is like no other show that I've worked on because everyone is literally family, and that is 100% accurate.
It is odd sometimes thinking like these are the glory days,
mm-hmm.
you know, like when I look back on this, I'll probably look back really fondly and I'll think back of the people. I'll probably work on other shows, but something as tight knit as this.
Yeah.
Like I know people's birthdays. Mm-hmm. I don't even know my parents' birthdays. I forget them all the time.
Yeah.
Do you know Nicole's birthday?
Nope. do I know?
Nicole? October 22nd, 10/22.
I knew it was
baby Sal 10/22. Come on.
Oh, that's your, did you just told everyone that?
Shh. Edit that out.
We'll cut that.
Wait, you don't want it? You don't want it?
You can. It's fine. I'm private.
Is that your Instagram?
That is my Instagram. Yeah. Yes.
Baby Sal 10/22.
That was my
22.
Yeah, that was my AIM.
Yes.
And my first email.
You said it like I know your Instagram handle more than I know your name. You're like, you know me, Baby Sal 10/22.
Yeah, well.
I like that you're Baby Sal, too.
You call me Baby Sal all
I do?
Time. Yeah.
Baby Sal, come
Baby
on.
Baby Sal, Aunt Nikki.
Sympathetic. I mean, what else? Everything. Yeah.
So back to the challenge real quick, a Carlos Bakery. Is that a location that you like? Do you, are you a bakery kind of person?
No, I'm not really into sweets, but that was a good location for us. Yeah. Shoot wise, just cause it was spacious. There was an area for like me and Kelly to set up and actually, you know, like not be in a corner sitting on, you know,
a milk crate.
Yeah. In the grocery store freezing, you know, in a cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. What are locations that you're like, oh, there are perks here, like a pizza place or something like that?
Yeah, because they usually give us a discount to feed the crew, which is savings.
You're always thinking of savings.
That's my job.
It's so funny because like whenever we're on location, like you don't really get, like people are like, oh, you work on Impractical Jokers. It must be a laugh riot nonstop. You're just watching these guys perform, but you're off in the back on a computer somewhere.
Like trying not to cry. Usually.
But like not watching. And then you're just like, oh man, this location's good. Cause maybe I can get a discount on a couple slices.
Get a free pie at the end of the day.
And then I got to get up at 2 a.m.
Yep.
To go to the bodega. We're going to film tomorrow. And I don't know. God willing, Joe gets his flight.
Yeah.
It's funny. We had another star on this episode because we actually had Carlo.
The Cake Boss himself.
Make an appearance, which is great.
Yeah.
He came down like he was working all day upstairs, which I kind of loved. Like he really does make those things and he runs a business. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
One of my favorite parts about this episode was again, Christine Morris.
Oh my gosh, she's so funny.
But also she's so funny when she's like walking and like has to do the walk downstairs and like the canoe by like Austin Powers. But one of my favorite things, cause this happens with the art department all the time. They take things like very literally when you give them directives.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's like Christine walked downstairs like comedically. And she's like, no, she's like,
thinking she has to get some props or something like come downstairs, you know?
Yeah.
And then, but she's so funny. And what's funny is like that stuff happens often and it doesn't always make the cut. Cause it's like, what's the context, but they were like, that's so good. We got to keep it in.
Yeah.
I love when the show becomes like a reality show. I know that it's like, it is one and it's, but it's like a comedy reality show, mm-hmm. but like to show the crew doing stuff like that is so wonderful.
Right. And like Nicole says, it is like that family, like you're watching the guys like just mess around with Christine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's an easy target because she'll do it to herself. Like she did in the season premiere where she puts on the binoculars
goggles,
after yeah. she blacked them out, puts yeah. on the binoculars.
What I also like is that she did a bit successfully in complete silence.
Yeah.
Like she does the Murren thing. She doesn't have a microphone. The only the Jokers have microphones.
Look out.
But I think we have to start giving Christine mic, like mic her up.
Yeah, that's we got idea.
Like you do
well,
with
well,
like
Danny Hollis is drunk, so he's not going to make
that's true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
He can't bring five.
Then we
mics.
Have to pay for another, you know, another yeah. microphone. Like, let's not.
Yeah.
Can't you make it, save it on the pizza?
Well, okay, fine.
So if
we're filming at a pizza place.
Okay.
If you keep sending me to these focus point places, I mean, that's not, yeah, doesn't only benefit
Joe,
anybody.
Only but. Joe Gatto could have lunch at the bakery. He's yeah. the only one that's having cannoli after cannoli.
I think people do have a question about that. When the Jokers eat all that food or when they throw things on the floor or like shove it into a box.
Yeah.
There's somebody coming behind and being like, hey, we're going to pay for that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Unless there's the bakery kind of sometimes like, it's okay.
I mean, it depends on the location and it depends how much we actually...
Destroy
yeah. and consume that day. But most of the places are like, no, you know, we're going to hook you guys up. But well, yeah, about, we usually have some hefty checks.
How about Delmonico's Steakhouse for the punishment?
Well, I was actually nervous the entire time because I was Surprise. Given strict instructions.
Okay.
To be mindful of what was being ordered and spent because Delmonico's is pretty expensive.
Oh yeah.
It's so like as I saw like
steakhouse.
The yeah. fifth plate of oysters coming out, I was like, well, I'm fired. This is my last day. But Delmonico's actually, they did not charge us. They were very, very
what?
Kind. Yeah.
They what should get fired.
They did. I know. Wait, are we going to get them in trouble? That
no.
was a scam bone.
Oh, no, good. It was, that was a scam bone for sure. And that
no,
was
all the heads were there. Yeah. The five heads of the families that run Delmonico's. Yeah. it was good.
So I, you know, that was a surprise for everyone, that whole punishment. And I show up, I was coming from another, you know, work day, was doing mm-hmm. another job. And I show up, I'm wearing like a beanie.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like dressed like as schlubby as possible.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, yeah, it's fine. I don't care. I should be able to do that. Right.
Totally.
If you look at my attire from Insider, from like when it started to now, like when it started, like, you know, people were like, yeah, you got to wear a tie and you hold a microphone, uh-huh. all this like stuff. And I was like, this doesn't feel like what the show is.
Yeah.
Right? I was like, I guess this is what they want me to do. And then as it's like gone, I've like slowly like lost the tie and lost the pants. And now I just wear a bra and it's fine. It's better now.
Yeah, you're living your truth out there.
Yeah. I'm letting the truth out.
It's true.
But so this was a really fun one. It's another fun. One of these ones that's just like a great environment. That's why we did it there.
Yep.
With a weird task.
Weird
like,
task.
Like finding a diaper or something.
Yeah. And this was just a great idea. And this is one of the rare times we get an idea pitched to us by someone on the crew that makes it to air.
That's right. I forgot about
Wait,
that.
This is pitched
Danye.
Danye is he's in our basically our wardrobe. He is our wardrobe department.
Mm-hmm. He's our art department. He's
so
like,
there's Will Thaxton and Christine yeah. Morris, and they do a lot of
designer.
All of it. But he's our costume designer. He makes Q's jacket that's like Marty McFly Jr.'s. He'll make like the accoutrements for punishments to make them to sell them and make them look better and challenges as well.
Right?
Yeah, he's talented.
Everything costume.
He made me a tutu.
Did he?
Yeah, he'll
yeah,
just
a
make
white
stuff
light up tutu.
That's
I said
amazing.
I want to be incredible. A unicorn for Halloween, and I want a white light up tutu. And he did it, and he put it in a lift and sent it to my house.
Wow,
he's mm-hmm. incredible.
He's the best.
He is the best.
He's Done. Really talented, and so he's also
crazy
creative.
Talented,
and
yeah.
it's crazy because again, like the only time I can remember of someone else on the crew coming up with an idea for a challenge or a punishment that's made it to air, we get. Pitch stuff all the time. People will be like, Casey McCarthy, like, here's an idea. The guy's dressed up as a homeless guy. And then we're like, stop right there. Here's why that's not going to work. But it was Danya's idea. And like, he was like, yeah, go tell the guys. And he told him like, yep, we're going to do
awesome.
That. And we're going to do it to Murray. And which was great. Obviously Murray's got a lot of history with wigs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really fun one just to have this. Like it's also, it seems sort of desperate to have this sort of bald guy going around trying to find if people,
yeah, like he
people
needs
are
to
bald.
Find a wig.
Yeah.
And it was funny because we wanted to do it. Other locations we talked about were like maybe like an Elks Lodge or something where there's a lot of senior citizens and like you're trying to pull wigs off their hair, like all their heads. And then we're like, well, what if he pulls off the wig of somebody that isn't our guy, mm-hmm. and he's just ripping off someone's wig that we don't know, and then that right. would be what, a brawl.
I was watching. What would have happened if he'd been in Delmonico's and taken the wig off
someone? Oh, I don't know. It would have been bad news.
Yeah.
We roll the dice like that on this show, uh-huh. because yeah. that would be amazing. Just like we didn't know that he would try the wig of the person that we put in there and not get it. Right. And so that yeah. happens, and it's great. And Sal goes, this is the punishment for eternity.
Right. But then also two things. Like, yes, pulling off someone's wig is very rude. Pulling someone's hair is incredibly rude. Yes. So every time he was like wrong, he's still so rude. And as a waiter, that's just never something you should do.
Sal at one point was like, don't do it. Like he's instructed him to do this. But even at that point, it's too cringy, even for the cringe king himself, Sal.
Yes.
Which is a name that I've been trying to get going.
The Cringe King?
The Cringe King.
You could hashtag. Is that the first time you're hearing it, Nicole?
It is.
Cringe King. You could just hashtag Cringe King and you could see it.
Okay.
Yeah. Sal Vulcano, Cringe King. You could hit @SalVulcano and write Cringe King. That'd be fine. That would be fun if you did that. But yeah, these locations when the guys just like get oysters and stuff, mm-hmm. it's just so funny. It's so insane.
Oh, that was funny because they're eating like oysters and steak. And then
yeah.
I remember like, I look at Imbrogio, he's eating a Funyuns off of Delmonico's plate. I'm like, yeah.
To find a wig. I remember watching him and being like, how's he going to do this? And he did it in the way that, I mean, I couldn't even have a way. There was no version of me coming up with a way to get away with it. There's no way to get away with this punishment. You can't, how many times can you be like, oh, I was just touching your hair? Like you can't, there's not a thing you can say.
You can't see me, but I'm shaking my head. It's just like, I can't believe these guys get away with it. They're able to do it. They just like,
I'm surprised. Like there was one woman was like kind of mad. Like was, and that was almost in a way that was almost in a way that made more sense mm-hmm. where he's like, oh, your hair, you know, your bun or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Other times he just goes and he just pulls people's hair.
This is like, don't try this at home. We need to start, Danny Green, can you make that happen? We do have a warning in the beginning of the show, but I feel like people don't take it seriously. Don't try this at home. Don't go around trying to pull people's wigs off. It's such a social faux pas.
Yeah, check out baby's diapers, but don't do this.
Oh, yeah, feel free, sniff away.
So weird.
Nicole, what punishment in your mind is the worst one that we've done?
The worst? Oh, gosh. It was at Arte Divino when Q had to put X's. Yeah, yeah, through those little babies' paintings. Like, that hurt. That hurt my heart.
As an aunt, that killed
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
it
you was
can imagine
not,
being with
yeah.
your nieces and nephews. Oh.
I think I probably would have hit him. If I were a parent in there, I think I would have gotten physical.
I want to talk more about this. I love this topic of, like, which punishments do you feel like you could absolutely not do? Mm-hmm. You know, like I'd jump out of a plane.
I wouldn't.
You would not.
No, I'm scared of heights.
But that, so was Murr.
Now we know how to punish Nicole.
Yeah, now we know.
There are a lot of ways you could punish me.
Danny, what are some punishments that you would not want to do or do?
I don't like to insult people. And so I always thought Sal's punishment when he has to, at the wedding, when he has to read the best man speech uh-huh. would have been very tough for me.
Wow, that's interesting, because I don't think of that one as insulting. One of his punishments, he literally gives an old woman the middle finger.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
But I do that all the time.
That's just Danny driving.
But the speech, the wedding speech?
The speech would have been very tough for me. Once I saw everybody in the audience getting angry at me, I would have really broken into a sweat and wanted to leave.
Crystal and Gary.
Yeah.
Still going strong.
Are they?
Oh. I mean, I assume.
Me too. I spoke to Crystal a couple years ago on something, and yeah, they were very, very happy.
Yeah, we got them for inside jokes as well. We talked to them.
Oh, that's nice. Right.
Yeah, they were great, and they loved it. That's like, I think they look fondly on their wedding for a bunch of reasons, but mostly because it was like part of TV history.
Mm-hmm. Nice. What about you, Case? Well, what would you not want to do? What pun?
I was thinking of one recently, and I think it was like a gross one. There's a few ones like, all right, know what it is? 100%. I would not go into that bog for Bog Monster.
Oh yeah, that's gross.
I would not. And what's crazy about that is Sal was in that water in the suit, but know who else was? Jay Miller, who came out and like grabbed mm-hmm. him at the end in the costume. That was Jay Miller. And he would have to be in that water longer than Sal was. I'm surprised he didn't get some kind of weird disease.
Yeah.
I mean, he already has a bunch, but
yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't get like an extra one. Or one that like multiplies all the other diseases.
I honestly think it was worse for the bog having Jay. The bog picked up a few from Jay.
Poor bog.
Yeah.
But that one for me is like, I wouldn't even go in that water. I'm surprised that they got Sal in that water.
Yeah.
He, you know, this is a little inside. He was wearing a condom. He was wearing a condom.
Yeah, that is true.
I heard that story.
Private parts? On his private parts.
Wow. He was very afraid of.
Why was he having sex?
Nothing crawled up it.
No. The origin of that is that he one time was dared $200 to swim in a pool that was like after the winter, it was like spring, but they hadn't like brought it back to life. Whatever you do with a pool, you know, shock it.
You know how you shock it, bring it back to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And it is true. That's what it's called.
Someone dared him to swim from one side to the other. And so he put on a condom. He put like wax or like earplugs in his ears. And he like closed his eyes and like held his breath the entire way and did it and got like $200. So that's why when he did that, I was like, yeah, we could put him in a bog.
So gross.
Isn't that gross?
It's so gross.
Really? Yeah. You wouldn't go in the bog?
Hmm. Why?
I don't know. It wouldn't bother me. I would do it for... You know, fun. $15, yeah, fun.
There's like bacteria or not even like parasites.
There's gators.
That's what I was going to say. I would have been freaked out about the alligators.
No, I'm more worried about a gator you see coming.
Yeah.
No.
You also, guys, maybe you not. Just picked a punishment where you wrestle. You could have to wrestle a gator. Q wrestled the gator.
I would do that. I would do that before I did bog.
I'd rather do bog than wrestle a gator. Oh,
I would rather do sharks than bog.
I'd rather do sharks, but sharks was fun. Like Chase did. Shark. He had to go in and test all the cameras and stuff before Murray got in there.
I mean,
they went and dove with sharks after.
Yeah, it's just that Murray's a bit of a wuss.
Yeah.
No, he's just like, it's his biggest fear. So it's like, and like, same thing with spiders. Right. Like,
it's not
Q,
fair for me to say.
Q with spiders, I would do in a second. I'm not afraid of spiders.
So here's a question. We at True TV were coming up with a list of, we were going to create a list of the best punishments, best to worst.
Great.
Oh, great. Turquoise ring one.
What do you think is the worst punishment?
Oh, ski lift is up there.
Ski lift. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking back, and I think it's funny in the way it's cut, but like Sal picks up like dog poop with a glove on.
Right. Yeah. That was episode number one.
Yeah. That's number two.
Was
right?
Two?
One is butterfly crime scene.
Oh.
No. One is pooping.
Oh, really?
Yes,
so it's the other way around. Two is butterfly crime.
Yes.
Okay. So.
I remember Sal got punished like back to back in the first.
Yeah.
Like in the first five episodes, he gets punished like four times.
Yeah.
Just amazing, which is a great start to the show because that's basically what it is.
I mean, they're almost all good, but you can't do 140 with everyone being perfect.
Ski lift has its problems. I think the idea of it was that it would be better than the execution. But, you know, I think it's important to sometimes test things out, see if they work.
We've got to do a 30 for 30 or something on ski lift because what happened was it was supposed to be so much longer, too.
Yeah.
It was supposed to go on. Like, we wanted an overnight ski lift. Like, it was supposed to really go. And it didn't happen exactly that way because as Nicole, you weren't on the show at that point, but you can imagine some production management issues with that. And so ski lift just like, it was still good. It was still punishment. Like they hated it up there. They got shot with paintballs, but it never reached like the levels that we wanted it to. I think it's fair to say now. I think we're hurting the show saying that four seasons later.
I want to know. I like this topic. What are other ones that we think are maybe? We often celebrate the show, so I don't want to come off like we don't like the show. But there have to be ones that there have to be. If there's an order, there has to be ones in the bottom five or so.
Well, yeah, but then also there's ones that surprise you that we don't think are going to go that well.
Of course,
and they. They're like, holy crap.
I think that happens more than often. Strip High 5 was a surprise.
Yeah.
Like, there were like people that were on the fence for it, and then it was iconic. There, I think also another one that I don't know if I love is Escape the Room, where Sal pees his pants.
No, you're wrong.
I love that one.
You are wrong. It is great, but let me hear why.
Well, I just don't... I think of the ones we've come up with... All right, so I think the same could be said about... MERS prostate exam, but I love that one.
Come on, Casey,
I love that. I love that one.
Oh, great.
That was, I think that might have been my idea.
Oh, well, come get some because it may have been mine.
Okay, I definitely always wanted Sal to put to inseminate a bull, and that got turned into Sal having a cow.
Yes,
like
birthing
having
a calf,
birthing it, like yeah, having
which
to
is
help.
Also great,
right? Which I love, but I think that's why in my head I was like, something's going up, something. But that one, Gatto didn't love that one because it doesn't love the idea of like, you know, us doing that to Murr in that way.
Yeah. And this is another one where, like, again, like the producers that are more concerned with the nuts and bolts of the show as opposed to the comedy.
The nuts and butts.
Nuts and butts of Murr, not the comedy. We're like, we can't really, like, what are we watching? And we're like, it's so funny. And I remember me and Sal got voted down on this, but we wanted a train of doctors. And like, you see a train.
We want him to run a train. And it changes the punishment.
And that's what we wanted. We wanted four doctors to give him a prostate exam.
Yeah.
And we were dead set on it. And like, again, like this is like the difference between our job and like every other job on the planet. A real fight was how many doctors should be up Murr's butt. And it was me and Sal, like, not even, like, talking like this, not even for comedy anymore, like, pleading, being like, guys, it has to be four. And like, guys, it's just too many. Second opinion is real. And we're like, I know. Third opinion, he'll think rule of threes for comedy. There's no good reason to do four. And that's why we need to do four, because he'll never, ever see it coming. And they're like, and I think it was Joe, who's like, Gatto, who's like, guys, that's it. It's the most we're doing.
He didn't want one.
He's like, I'm drawing the line at two. And we were like, fine. And then we watched, and then it happened and it was really funny. And then me and Sal looked at each other and goes, it should have been four.
That's so funny. Cause I like, everyone's a different team. Yeah. I was team three. You're team four. Murr was team none.
Murr's team none.
But so was Joe.
Yeah.
I think
he was on four.
He probably decided.
But it's also one of those things where it's like, it's so funny to think that there's ever an argument about what happens on this show. Cause when you watch it, it's so fun and silly.
Yeah.
And like, you're like, almost like it seems like nobody even planned anything about it. And yeah. You're like, well, how'd that happen? But it's like really funny to be in an argument with your boss and be like, my other boss needs four fingers up the butt, four different people.
What's been the most heated debate that you've been on?
Well, that one, it wasn't as heated. That one was funny heated, real heated. That is tough to figure out.
I mean, there've been some things that like are, you know, how far are we willing to go?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there for it, but I think when like Murr jumping out of the or being pushed out the plane.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah.
That was tough but everyone knows that. Like that was more Murr and the guys.
Right.
And it wasn't like heated. It was just like people felt bad. Like Q was almost ready to pull the plug.
Yeah.
Like he was the first one to be like, well, guys, what are we doing here? Are we sure?
And it's one of those things too where like it's a bigger version of this, but I was this way as a kid. It's like when you're a kid and you're scared to go on a ride and your parents are like, look, it's fine. Just go on it. But you're crying and you don't want to go on. And they're like, if you just get on, you'll be fine. It's a version of that because we knew he'd be fine. Like people skydive every day.
Right.
And it's like, so if you just do it, you'll be fine. But like, again, he's crying. And like, so they're like his parents in that situation where you're like, look, man, you got to do it for the show. And like, yes, it's a punishment. You have to do it. Otherwise you're off the show, whatever. But like, they're still his friends.
Yeah.
And it's just that thing with like, they're pleading with him like, buddy. And it gets to that. And yours are Bud. Bud comes out a lot at that time. It's like, Bud, you just got to do it. Like, I'm telling you, it's going to be fun. It'll be funny at home. I know you don't want to do it. Like this stuff gets cut. And like, you just have to do it and you're going to be fine. And it's going to be really funny.
Because Murr is a little bit of a glutton for this stuff. Because like, all right, I'm going to name a few punishments that started where Murr was like, oh no. And then he loves them and loved doing it. Novocaine. He was shot in the mouth with Novocaine and then had a blast out there. Like even the night, I think he got like hives. He broke out in like hives, but he still was like, it's just so, he knew how funny it is. Even though he is the fool, he still afterward is like, wow, that's good television. He knows that.
Also, interesting thing on Novocaine, that was one that was pitched months earlier and it got shot down. So just talking about arguments, so like you're fighting for like, guys, it's really funny. It'll work. And it's like, I don't know. And then like a few months later, Murr got Novocaine and he came in. And he's like, I can't talk when I'm on that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we were like, oh, we got to bring that Novocaine punishment back.
Yeah. Allergies, similar allergy. We found out that he got an allergy test. We found out what it was. We couldn't use the actual allergies. We just used like histamines, but that's another one where it started out like where he was like, oh no, I look gross, I'm itchy. And then like he's out there, he looks great dancing. Like I actually left me and like he could join this squad.
Yes. Also, this is another funny thing. This always happens with Murr. Murr says things like he wants to be punished. Like, if you're on a show where you don't want, like, your biggest fear is getting out, you'd think you'd never say them. And, like, Murr will just come in one day. He's like, Janelle, I'm allergic to these things. It'd be terrible if somebody pricked me with all of those histamines. Yeah. And then I had to strip. Like, he didn't do exactly that. But it's like, yeah, it's like those things where he's like, guys, you know what I hate more than anything? Sharks. Jumping out of planes, sharks, and being a vampire that sings with a gospel choir. My biggest fears. Like,
he basically does that.
Yeah.
Nicole, do you have any favorite punishments? Least favorite punishments?
Least
now favorite. You can get all this. We can talk all about the dirt.
Dirt, dirt, dirt,
dirt, dirt, dirt.
My least favorite, I think it was the Artavino one. That was a hard one for me. That was my least favorite. My favorite, though, I think, oh my gosh, the one at Citi Field with Joe and the baseball.
Wow.
That's also until
the end.
Mean.
Until the end. But it was so funny.
It was so funny. That's a good one.
But it was awkward.
Yeah.
It was, because that mom got really upset.
Yeah,
I don't blame
she
her.
Did.
That was one of my favorite punishments to be at, because we're at Citi Field and like hanging out with Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah, I got hammered with Danny Hollis after that. And the director.
Thor's hammer? Thor's hammer?
Yes, that kind of hammer.
Do you see what I'm talking about? Noah Syndergaard.
Oh, Noah Syndergaard is Thor.
Hammered. On that, folks, thank you so much. Nicole, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Loved your perspective. Again, brought the vibes. That's what you do. And actually tonight, this is fun because the night that we're recording this is a North-South private party that we're having. And we're about to get wasted there, too.
We are.
Danny's there now.
He's probably there.
Danny's been there since, two.
Scarborough have been there since the bar opened.
Nicole, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Nicole.
Danny Green.
Thank you.
Any last thoughts?
Nicole skis, also. That was in my great interview.
Great.
And you don't like the ski lift punishment? No, way, I don't.
You didn't like that one.
Yeah. She just doesn't like that you damage the
reputation
of a ski resort.
Right. Ski lifts are very safe, despite what we saw recently in Georgia.
There were quite a few issues this year with ski lifts.
Danny Green, worst, best punishment, favorite, least favorite punishment.
My least favorite is when I saw the chairlift, I was thinking maybe I shouldn't work with the show anymore.
Oh my God. Wow. We're all like, maybe not our best, but good swing.
Just one one, Danny?
Burn it to the
just
ground.
It's like you're in a good relationship and you find out someone like doesn't floss and you're out.
Well, why don't you let us know your favorite?
What's your favorite, Danny?
No, I'm telling the audience. You should let us know. Danny's about to tell us, but if you have a favorite punishment, why don't you let us know in hashtag Joker's Podcast, and you can reach out to me at Casey Jost, at Mick James McCarthy, at DJ Verde.
Danny G49.
At Danny's
house. D-Turks.
At D-Turks.
Yeah, at Danny's house. A.K.A. D-Turks. Go on. What do you got?
My favorite punishment is, the strip high five was pretty good. Yeah. I mean, I laugh at that every single time I watch amazing. It, and I've seen it a lot.
That's a good one. It's amazing. It's how it played out is so dramatic and so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want, Danny, we can send you the unpixelated version.
You don't think I have a collection of nude Murr photos?
On that, folks, thank you very much. I'm Casey Jost.
James McCarthy.
Listen to the next one.
Bye.